Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Bring a little sunshine indoors with the exciting new arrivals in store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. The proper name of the Galway Cathedral is the Cathedral of Our Lady Assumed into Heaven and St. Nicholas. And it's in Galway, and it came obviously up on the programme a lot yesterday because that is where the late Bishop Eamon Casey was buried as a bishop, and he's buried in the crypt of Galway Cathedral. Now, Seamus Heaney. Seamus, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You were recently in Galway Cathedral, tell us.
Yeah, June bank holiday weekend. Okay. I attended my granddaughter's christening, and beautiful weekend. The weather was lovely, and we had a lovely ceremony, and the priest was excellent.
Okay.
So we all really enjoyed the day. That came back to mind last night when watching the programme. I was watching with my wife, Mary, and I said to her during the programme, I said, I can't believe what I'm hearing here. I said, my first reaction was, why didn't these allegations come out years ago? But of course, they did, but they were covered up. And my instinct was, I can't see how I would ever stand inside that building again as long as that man is buried there.
And if you had known about these allegations and the fact that the Vatican basically didn't tell anybody from 2006 to the time he died in 2070 and received the full ecclesiastical honours in Galway Cathedral without, I don't know if anyone knows at the time that the Papal Nuncio didn't turn up and the Vatican had pointed that out to the programme. Without being asked, but they pointed out the paper, so there was a recognition from the Vatican that that Eamon Casey was not in good standing with the church. But our president attended and was never obviously advised otherwise by the Papal Nuncio or the ecclesiastical authorities. If you had known what you know now, would you have asked your daughter to move the christening?
I certainly would.
Okay.
And I strongly suspect that she wouldn't have held it there in the first place. Because, I mean, these allegations, the christening of a young baby girl, and we have these allegations about abuse of young girls. So most certainly I would have asked her not to hold it there. And I, as I said already, I suspected she wouldn't have.
I mean,
in that light, I would urge anyone considering having any ceremony in that building from now on to not have it there as long as that man is buried inside the building.
You're asking people to boycott it for weddings or christenings or
even funerals. I mean, it's a gorgeous building. It's a beautiful building inside and out. I know it well. It was open. I remember when it opened in the 60s. I'm from Mayo. My wife's from Galway, so we know the place well. There are beautiful walks around and nearby the river, and it's a lovely place to go inside for a bit of peace and quiet, say a prayer. But I can't see, I would ever see the building in the same light again, and certainly will not darken the doors.
Would you go, Seamus, would you go to Mass there? Would you go to a funeral there?
A funeral, out of respect maybe for the person that's been buried, but certainly Mass, no way.
And if Bishop Casey, as he was known when he was buried there, if his remains were transferred, would you darken the door?
I don't know if it's possible. Oh, yeah, I mean, you can't blame the building. But at the moment, it's like a temple of evil almost, such a beautiful building. And, I mean, it will always be associated with that man. And anytime I see that building, I'm going to think of that programme last night and the beautiful shots of the building from overhead and so on. And I don't know if it's possible ever for him to be moved, but certainly I won't be standing inside while he's buried there.
And what tell us?
No, I'm just going to say there's a good description of a narcissist, a street angel, house devil, and here we have a public angel, and as far as I'm concerned, the church devil.
Yeah.
You know, he was a great man, a great crack, but behind the scenes, we know now what was going on.
And you watched the programme. It was a long programme. What did you?
Indeed.
And a long time in the making, apparently. What did you think of it?
I almost was reluctant to watch it earlier on, and my wife says, no, we'll watch it. And my reaction was, I can't understand why these allegations are only coming out now. Mm-hmm. But again, as I said, they did come out, but there was a cover-up. And you mentioned about the Papal Nuncio, they knew. He didn't attend, but yet allowed our president to attend. So
I'm just wondering, was it would take someone to go back and look through. Did anyone remark on the fact that this incredible funeral for a bishop, which was attended by our head of state, and that funeral, did anyone notice that the Papal Nuncio didn't go? For example, when Archbishop Desmond Connell died, Archbishop of Dublin, and he was buried from the pro-cathedral in the city centre there. And the Lord Mayor at the time did not attend, and that was spotted by, as it happened, I think, Patsy McGarry, the very astute religious affairs correspondent. And the reason given was because, obviously, Desmond Connell was not accused of anything, but he was accused of holding back files and not fully cooperating but that was noticed. But I just wondered, anyone noticed that the Papal Nuncio did not go to Bishop Eamon Casey's funeral?
I'm sure every bishop in Ireland knew that the Papal Nuncio wasn't there, and all our higher church authorities who attended it, they would all have been aware. But they attended it. But we all know that there was decades of collusion in Ireland between the Gardaí, the state authorities, and the Catholic Church, and they allowed clerical predators to remain free and reoffend again and again and destroy countless lives.
Transferred them,
from one diocese to another, as we saw last night.
Stay with us, Seamus. Joe at rt.ie 51551 is our text number. Edward Harran. Edward, good afternoon. You contacted us. Your point is not... What do you think of Seamus's point, first of all? Sorry, please.
Sorry, Joe. I sort of missed Seamus's point there.
Well, Seamus says he will not darken the door of Galway Cathedral as long as that man is buried there.
Yeah, well, I'd agree with that 100%. My own view on it is that any paedophile within the Catholic Church, and the Vatican did know about these long ago. You know, in the 70s, this was being called out and it was being denied. And it was being, you know, parents just happened to believe the priests. Everybody believed the priests. That's the way it was. But these priests, as far as I'm concerned, like, act on demonic possession or something. And what they have done to children and how people's lives are. Like, when I reported this, it was 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. And to have to live through life, because all you do is you scramble through it. Now, I'm lucky enough to be alive, but other people, many people have died that I know that were in my school. Bishop Casey, Father Curry.
This is Blackrock College you're talking about, yeah.
Yes, Father Curry and the Lights. Bishop Casey, Father Curry and the Lights, all of them. The diggers should be in there where they're buried now. They're buried on sacred ground. They need to be moved from sacred grounds. And whether they're isolated and put in a separate place, all paid for by the church, with memorial plaques there for the people that they abused, so that people can come and see that and see what it is, but they should certainly not be part of the Catholic Church. I imagine myself that if Bishop Casey on his judgment day went up to be judged, he was going to look more like Satan, resemble Satan more so than Jesus.
But Edward, and I know you were, and you spoke to us before very eloquently, you were abused by, among others, Father Senan Curry, who's now dead. But what does it matter where somebody is interred, where somebody is buried? What does it matter?
Yeah, well, Joe, you know, with regard to if we go back to Jesus and we look at what Jesus left us with and the words of Jesus, he did not intend for what people that I would think of as demons are possessed to be buried within the church. It just makes a mockery of it. And it also tends to get people who want to come and visit these places. They're coming for negative reasons, some of them. You know,
and I don't know. Maybe stay with us, Edward. Seamus, can you explain the geography of Galway Cathedral? Can you go down to the crypt and see the coffins? Do you know?
I'm not sure if that applies all the time, but I know that the day we were there at the christening, we couldn't.
Okay.
But if that's permanent, I'm not sure.
Because it is, there is a stairwell from what I was looking at on YouTube. There is a stairwell that goes down to the crypt, and it's an accessible stairwell. That's what I mean. It's not a little narrow ladder. It looks like it's
you can see the steps down, like going down to a basement. Yeah,
yeah, and then there's these. I think the doors featured in last night's piece. There's these very impressive double doors.
So you asked the question there, what does it matter if he's buried there? Well, it does matter because, I mean, the church is in crisis. And, like, I'm asking people not to hold ceremonies there, but even as it stands, more and more people, I was at a wedding last weekend, they're having humanist weddings, they're not bothering with church weddings. And if the church is supposed to reinvent itself and clean up its image, well, this is a good place to start.
Okay, well, I can tell you, somebody's after sending me in a piece from a building contractor. It's on their website. I'm sure they are very reputable, carey building contractors. And they talk about the different jobs they did. And they've great, great track record. But they have client Galway Diocese. There's no date on this, but it's obviously quite recent. The project was especially complex and required a team of dedicated professionals to adhere to conservation guidelines. This is for the crypt. The project required removing the bishop's coffins interred within the crypt whilst the necessary renovations took place and carefully replacing them on completion. So recently, the coffins were removed and they can be removed relatively easily for some renovation work. And there's a photograph. It looks incredible. It really looks incredible. Some renovation work done by Carey building contractors, who I say are a fine company. The whole list there, they're based in Tuam Road in Galway. But so the coffins were removed while the work was going on. So that means they don't have to be, pardon my language, don't have to be dug up. They can simply be carried out, and they were carefully replaced by the builders on completion. Edward, did you? I know when you reported your abuse to the Spiritans, to the Holy Ghost. What reaction did you get?
I was just sent home. First of all, I was sent home, told to go home because I was wearing long trousers that they couldn't get into. When I did get home, my parents, you know, after a few days, we went in and we met Father Stanley and Father Curry, and they just said that I was telling lies. I got beaten after that. I was sent back into the school by my parents. I was beaten. Life was made hell for me for 3 years, to the point that I had to leave Blackrock College because I just couldn't take any more of it. I was basically blacklisted by the priests and by the students at the time, which was very sad. But a lot of those students, as I say now, are dead. I went through life like just thinking I was an evil person. That's the way it was. Like, because, you know, I've been blamed and been told so often that I was bad. Yeah. And what this does to you, Joe, it's 50 years on now since I reported it. But it never leaves you. And I am lucky that I'm alive. There are many others that are dead. Yeah. There's a list as long as my arm of guys that committed suicide and guys that just didn't last because of alcohol or drugs.
Yeah.
It's very, very sad. Now, I don't know how the church can condone burying people like that, because paedophilia is probably, you know, if one of the worst crimes, if not
the worst crime. Yeah, as Brian Darcy said yesterday, the effect is long-lasting, can often be catastrophic, and can go beyond the victim. In other words, go to the victim's friends and family. Did you ever, I know in the last 2 years, the Spiritans, as they're now called, set up this Restorative Justice Initiative. Did you did you get involved in that?
I did, yeah. I was involved. I was involved in that. With, Tim had really been the main coordinator there, but yes, we Tim also Chapman. It went further, and we went into groups that consisted of, say, people from various countries, you know, and people from Blackrock College, and we.
And were you happy? You get, well, restorative justice in this case could not have involved Father Curry as he was then, because he's dead. What did you think of the process? Did you get anything from the process?
Well, to be honest, I worked as a psychotherapist for a long time,
okay,
Joe.
Fair play.
And I had come to terms, you know, I had to fight that, as I say, like at 12 years of age, and you're sort of messed up. By the time I was 22, I was training to be a counsellor, you know, so, and then worked with prisoners and addicts after that. You know, I had constantly been working on myself anyway, but that did, I mean, at the end of the day, the thing with Blackrock College, I can tell you now that it really sort of put the final sort of nail in the coffin for me. It completed the jigsaw, whatever. I had so many questions answered for me there that, at the end of the day, I would have to say now that I am, you know, very happy with the way I am. However, I can't say that for other guys, because I know plenty of others, and they are still very, very messed up.
Okay. Where Father Sen and Father Curry and Father Flood, I know, was also men. We had a number of names on this program, and follow up to the Dock on One. Powerful piece with the Ryan brothers. Do you know where these people are buried? Because my recollection at the time is that some of them are still buried in the Spiritan, obviously called Holy Ghost now, the Spiritan plot in Glasnevin. I walked around Glasnevin and I saw their names on the monuments there. But anyway, they buried. Would you want them removed from?
Joe, any paedophile. Okay. I don't care where if they're buried on sacred ground, they need to be removed. They haven't acted with what Jesus left them. They've acted on what Satan left them, if that's the way you want to look at it.
Say with us, Edward, 51551, Nora and Joe at RT.ie. Nora Lucy is in Cork. Nora, you're listening to the conversation. Now, the debate now is revolving around, I presume it's because people see it as something almost physical you could do, remove the remains from this honoured, as I say, the crypt was for bishops. Only, but Nora, what's your position, please?
Well, I was just saying to your commentator, I was at Stations of the Cross last Good Friday with my 12-year-old daughter, and one of the stations the priest stopped at, he asked for forgiveness for alcoholics, drug addicts, prostitutes and paedophiles. And there were a group of little altar boys and altar girls around him, and, you know, the other congregation members. And I just found it very disturbing, you know, that he would first of all put the condition of paedophilia in the same category as alcoholics, drug addicts and prostitutes.
Yeah.
First of all, the majority of paedophiles aren't sorry for what they did. And they forgiveness means nothing to them because they just go and they continue on, you know, as we see with Bishop Casey and so many others, you know. So I just found that if that's the stance of the Catholic Church, would any priest care to come on and clarify? You know, he then went on to say, "Hate the sin, not the sinner," and that's just semantics, as far as I'm concerned, you know.
And did anyone remark on this lumping, so to speak, of let's pray for alcoholics, drug addicts? You're sure about this sequence? Alcoholics, drug addicts, prostitutes, and paedophiles.
Yes. No. Well, you know, I wasn't going to bring it up with any other congregation members. So I'm not too sure, but he definitely said it, and I definitely heard it, and I was definitely disturbed, and I just wanted to know if any priest could come on and clarify. And you know, if this is what we're dealing with, how do we move on? You know, how do we move on, and how do we welcome people back to the church?
What do you think of this? What do you think of this call for the remains of Bishop Casey to be removed from the crypt?
Well, I think first of all that the Catholic Church, out of respect for people and for children, should have their, if they're going to bury them within the church, they should have their own separate burial ground for them, not and, and well away from anybody, you know, that's in the congregation, or they should be returned to their families. They shouldn't be put in places where they can re-traumatize people when they walk into a church and they may not know, and suddenly it comes up that, oh, actually Bishop Casey is buried down there in the crypt, you know. I mean, I think it's disgraceful, and it's again a flaunting of, you know, the acknowledgement of paedophilia, really, you know, by the church. You know,
and you're aware of these new allegations that the Vatican knew about these allegations as far back as 2006 and didn't tell anybody. Well, the Irish Church didn't tell anybody either.
Well, there you go, you know, I mean, and then you have priests calling for paedophiles to be forgiven, you know, I mean, this is just, let's just bury this and continue on, and, you know, it's just not good enough. If they want people, if they want the church to remain, you know, for the good of the people.
And I don't want to burden you with this question, Nora, but I'll ask it anyway. Where do you think Bishop Casey should be interred?
He should be given back to his family and let them decide, you know, or he should be put in, the church should have a separate place for to bury these priests if they want to keep them within the cloak of the church, you know. They shouldn't be putting them in places where the public has to be re-traumatised, you know.
But the problem is, the challenge is, that the as in the program last night, the person making the allegations in great detail and with great perseverance over the years, is his niece, is a member of his family.
Yeah, well, let the church then have a place for these people that they put them.
And as was pointed out yesterday, Peter Murphy is his son. And Annie is the mother of his
child. Well, it makes it very complicated for everybody, you know. Complicated. Stay, and this is what they do, and they let people then to deal with it ourselves, you know.
Stay with us, Nora and Edward. More people after the break. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
So callers are saying, in light of the revelations over the last few days and then in this RT documentary last night, Buried Secrets of Bishop Eamon Casey, and these serious allegations which emerged a long time ago before he died, but nothing ever came of them, even though the Vatican said that they basically believed them, and the Bishop of Limerick said they basically believed them. Nothing ever came of it, but our callers are saying so far that the remains of Bishop Casey, which are resting, they're not buried actually, they're resting in the crypt below Galway Cathedral, they should be removed from that sacred ground. And we already heard one caller, Seamus Heaney, saying he was there recently at a christening. If he'd known what he knows now about Bishop Eamon Casey, he wouldn't have gone, he wouldn't have darkened the door, and he won't darken the door if the remains are still resting in the crypt. Joseph Minogue is in Limerick. Your point, please, Joseph.
Joe, I just rang up there and that I spoke to your researcher concerning this issue. I said that we have very good law and we have an excellent justice system here. Why wasn't a man reported before he died to the Gardaí or one of the other authorities in the country? You know, which we have great authorities in the country dealing with children, Why wasn't he reported? It's only now that the man is dead and buried that all these allegations are arising.
No, they were out there a long, long time. They weren't. The Vatican...
Yeah, they might have been out there. They might have been out there, Joe. Weren't they reported to the proper authorities?
Yes, they were. My understanding is they were. Patricia Donovan, listening to that programme last night...
Which proper authority were they reported to? The Gardaí, is it?
Both, and the church. The Gardaí and the
church.
Then
you should have a programme on there investigating... Yes. Who in the Gardaí received these reports, and why was it neglected like that? It wasn't investigated properly.
Do you
know what I'm saying to you? It's no point in talking about a dead man and what he did, because he's dead now and he can't be prosecuted. That just doesn't go for the gentleman we're talking about. It goes for many other people that have done stuff, you know, and the allegations only arise when they're dead.
No, they didn't only arise when they're dead. That's simply not true.
What I'm saying is that they weren't reported to the proper authority, like.
Well, the proper authority, first of all, within the church, well, first of all, is the Gardaí.
No, not at all. It's our civil law, takes precedence over any religious sect.
But Joseph,
I'm not speaking for Eamon Casey because I never knew the man, I never met him. Okay. I'm just making a general statement.
Well, I'm trying to reply to you that my understanding from watching the programme is that Patricia Donovan did report it to the Gardaí. The Gardaí opened the file, sent it to the DPP, and the DPP decided, we never know, decided for whatever reasons not to pursue it.
Well, if this is correct, what you're saying now, and
the Vatican,
we've got to find out who the DPP was. He has to be questioned, and also, you know, the book over it.
The DP, these allegations go back 40 years at this stage. I need all the statements that we had from the file yesterday from the Vatican and various other people, because the Vatican said that they were aware of these allegations. They decided he was not a priest in good standing. They told him he could not say mass, he could not wear vestments, and he did. And he did. Now, they did nothing about it, and it didn't arise here because nobody knew about this.
Just think of this. Suppose the Vatican did do something. What would they have done? They'd have just
As Brian Darcy said yesterday, they did it to Cardinal Joseph Carrick in the United States. They stripped him of all. They laicized him.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, but they didn't. I mean, really, when he did some, he committed an unlawful offence against somebody like that. It should have been brought to the attention of the state authorities. That's my point of view. It's no good. It's no good bringing it to the Vatican and all the rest of it. So that's ridiculous.
Well, Joseph, can I ask? By the way, the DPP is not expected to answer for any. That's their decision of the DPP's office. There's a whole slew of people. Now, Joseph, can I ask? Did you? Okay, you say you never met Bishop Casey. Did you ever? Did you ever see the interview with Annie Murphy on the Late Late Show?
No, I can't recollect it. No.
Well, can I ask you to do something? Watch it again. If you can.
Why, Joe? I mean, because there's no point in me listening to
Let me put that point directly to Edward. Edward, you went stay there, Joseph. 51551. Edward, you pursued people who were now dead, who abused you. What about Joseph's point? He's basically saying, what is the point? These people are dead.
Well, they are dead, Joe. And he's correct. I mean, there's not a lot that he can answer for now. But the church can. And there is no doubt in my mind, and I didn't know this until 2 years ago, that the head of the Spiritans, or the Holy Ghost at the time, who I reported it to, and who protected Father Curry, mm-hmm. was also a paedophile. Now, at the end of the day is that the church just need to do, as Jones said earlier, I think it was Jones said, you know, we need to have them in a separate plot, and the church needs to pay for them.
Address Joseph's point is that these people are dead. Now he's saying the allegations didn't arise. They did. That's a matter of fact. They did arise when they were. The Vatican, for example, said when they raise issues. It's not in this statement, unfortunately, but it's in one of the statements I had. yesterday that when that the issues that he wasn't he was in no fit state to deal with them. But they say we can't confirm. This is the Vatican, Joseph. I don't know whether you have any belief in their line, but we confirmed that Bishop Casey had been requested not to publicly exercise the ministry before 2006, and these were reiterated in 2007, and he was never reinstated in the following years in spite of insistence from him and on his behalf. And then they point out, Joseph, that the papal nuncio was not present at the funeral and the burial, and I think that is... That is important. But Edward, just that point from Joseph, what is the point? Am I paraphrasing you wrong, Joseph? What is the point of dragging all this up again and the man can't answer?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, the man can't answer. But at the same time, if we profess that we are a Catholic country and a Christian country, therefore we follow the words of Christ, not Satan. Those guys, as I say, to me, were just demonic. They were like telling us to be aware of wolves in sheep's clothing. And that's exactly what they were, right? At the end of the day, most of them are dead. Most of the guys that I know that were abusers are dead now. They're buried on sacred ground. The church needs to rectify that because we can't have...
Joseph and Limerick, what do you think of that point that the... that where Eamon Casey's coffin is now resting, it's not buried, in the crypt in Galway Cathedral, should be removed?
If they want to remove it, I have no objection to it. My point was, there's no point in discussing allegations about somebody that's dead. You know, that's all I'm trying to say. It's a pointless exercise. And on top of that, then, you know, the Irish public and the media, unfortunately, they condemn him without a trial. Without a trial. Do you understand me? I mean, we have our law and our justice system, and that should have been used. Now they're condemning people without a trial,
He can't go on trial if he's...
That's what I mean.
What about the victims?
I do believe it. Yeah. If there is victims, my hat goes out to them.
Are they not allowed to talk about it? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I suppose they are allowed to talk about it. It's a free country. You know, we can talk about anything, I suppose. But condemning the entire Vatican then, you know, condemning the entire Vatican. If a member of our some public service here does something severely wrong, and that we're not going to blame the whole public service. We're just going to blame that person. But now what we have the situation as well, where the whole church...
I don't know. Where are you hearing that, Joseph? Where are you hearing
that? Well, I hear it there. I mean, I hear it from the other gentleman. I've forgotten his name there. And he more or less is making out that the Vatican is responsible for it. Is responsible. They should take responsibility for it, I suppose, in some form of compensation, you know, which I don't mind about here or there, but I'm just saying an organisation cannot be held really responsible for the injustices committed by one person of that organisation.
Yeah, but the organisation...
And that includes the state organisation.
I know, it includes everybody.
Something wrong, I mean, we can't blame all the Gardaí.
Joseph, let's treat our listeners as being intelligent. People are well. Yes. People are well able to discern between the crimes of one person and the fact that they belong to any organisation. That you do not tar everyone. People, this is a given. I think.
Hang on.
Is it a given for you? It is, obviously. You don't believe...
No, it's not. It's just I hear it there, the whole church, I'm not a spokesman for the church, but I'm just saying to you, we should be circumspect, in what we say, That's the way I feel about it. And condemning the man when he's dead low and nothing can be done about it.
Okay.
Nothing can be
done
about it.
Well, I tell you, this sounds so patronising, but I say to people, I watched in full last night, the documentary. I also watched the hour-long interview with Annie Murphy, conducted by Gay Byrne, on The Late Late Show back in the 90s. It was a powerful piece. And Gay was a lot better than he gets credit for because of that remark at the end, which he regretted the formative words. But that's neither here nor there. Is a remarkable interview in terms of what Annie Murphy revealed, how she dealt with the questions, including from a hostile audience, by the way, because she just published a book. And the image that comes across of Bishop Eamon Casey as portrayed by the mother of his child in that hour-long interview is devastating. He was devious. He was dishonest. He was duplicitous. There's enough, even in terms of what the man did to Annie Casey, the lies he told, the rumours he spread about her being in a liaison with a handsome man. There was enough in that interview for people to say Bishop Eamon Casey was a fraud. He was a fraud.
How many times have we heard this from ordinary people?
You've just heard it again from me.
When a couple disagree with one another, or whatever, they condemn one another.
Yeah, but there's a difference in condemnation and crime. Martin.
I'll
let you back in. You for a good innings, Martin.
No, it's okay, Joe. Okay, stay there. I'm not a spokesman for Bishop Casey.
Martin Rattigan from Westmeath. Sorry for holding you. Your point, please, Martin. Should the coffin where it's resting in the crypt in Galway, should it be removed? It could be removed this afternoon, by the way. That's my understanding. It doesn't have to be dug up. Your point, please, Martin.
His coffin should be taken out and it should be cremated and his ashes spread out in the sea.
And what good would that do?
Because he was a fraud all his life, Joe. This is Bishop Casey, who had serious power. At one time, you'd wonder, was it Bishop Eamon Casey running the country or was it the government? And then to have him in a crypt in Galway. I think the people in Galway should stand outside the cathedral and demand that his coffin is taken out and then it'd be cremated.
But surely that would be, well, Patricia Dunham was part of his family, but that would be up to his family, wouldn't it, if they wanted
right, well, Joe, but since they were going to cremate him, he cremate him. They shouldn't be buried in sacred ground, Joe. He's a paedophile, like. He interfered with young people. He destroyed lives.
Okay, stay with us, Martin. Jack, before the break, and I'll keep everybody. Jack and Donegal, your point, please, Jack. You watched the documentary last night.
No, I didn't.
Jack.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You're in Donegal. Tell us, did you watch the documentary?
No, I didn't watch it last night. Okay. My wife watched some of it and turned it off after 10 minutes.
Okay.
She didn't tell me why, but she didn't watch all of it.
Okay.
As far as this man being in the cathedral, I think he should be removed from the crypt.
Okay.
And I also think wherever he is buried, they should put a plaque up over him and all the other ones that are dead with detailing their activities, let's say, with the knowledge of the church, the knowledge of Rome, and so everybody will know who they were and what they were and what they did.
Yeah.
With the knowledge of Rome. I also think that with regard to him being in the crypt, if you go to a church or a chapel or a priest with a stillborn baby looking to bury it, they won't allow you to put it in hallowed ground or whatever they call it.
Well, I think that was a horrific practice. That was a horrific...
Yeah.
But my understanding is it's changed.
Maybe it has.
Limbo was gone and all that nonsense.
They have no problem putting a paedophile in hallowed ground, but they wouldn't allow innocent babies to be buried in hallowed ground at one time. Maybe they have changed. I'm not sure.
Well, that's a very strong point, Jack. That's a very, very strong point. Okay, stay with us. Joe at RT.ie. I'm just thinking, we had a call last week from... There was a new plaque put up outside an industrial school. I think it was Tralee or Listowel. And the plaque was so innocuous that it fits into this whole thing that the children were remembered. Please remember the children. But there was nothing about the perpetrators of the abuse. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Well, Jack, Joe at RT.ie, the issue again. Jack, I'll ask you the same question because I've asked it to everybody. what does it matter where somebody is buried? I know you want them removed from Galway as remains.
I don't think it really matters where they're buried. What I do think matters is people should know what they did and what they were responsible okay. for. And I also think that their superiors who sheltered them from whatever mm-hmm. laws and stuff, they should be named as well, up the line, up as far as Rome or wherever might the trail takes you. The other thing I was thinking
and
is...
And I think the dog, well, you've raised something there, Jack, because the dog that didn't bark... Is the Vatican are now saying in this detailed statement, we knew about this in 2006, we said he was yeah. never reinstated, we told him he couldn't say mass, he couldn't wear vestments, he broke that. Why didn't the Papal Nuncio at the time say out loud? And issue a public, well, he was a very good man, Charlie Brown, issue a statement saying that Bishop Casey is not in good standing. And such was the position that the Papal Nuncio, the Vatican's representative in Ireland, did not even go to his funeral, whereas our head of state, Michael D. Higgins, went to the yeah. funeral. And as you know, I heard it was the funeral of Justin Kilcullen of Trochra, great, wise, fair, just as in his name, and just was in his nature as well. But I know the family in that funeral in Shankill, I think it was on Saturday, they actually thanked the president for attending. So for the president to attend, and they said it would have meant a lot to his father, for our president to attend was a great, great honour for Bishop Casey, even though our president didn't know what the Papal Nuncio knew. And they didn't bother.
And I think they didn't bother telling him. They should have told him, because yeah. that puts him in an awkward position now as well. That okay. he attended the funeral of a perpetrator like that without the knowledge that
of the allegations, yeah, and that he wasn't in good standing yeah. in the church. Maureen O'Donovan, Maureen, Joe at RT.ie, your point, please.
Joe, I did see the programme last night, and I obviously was quite upset about it. And I was listening to your conversation about the burial, and what came to mind was up until the 50s in Ireland, and particularly around the Cork Kerry area, we have killeenies, and killeenies were where women who were pregnant and died were buried. Mm-hmm. They couldn't be buried in consecrated ground because their babies weren't baptised, and it was a source of incredible pain to families because obviously the understanding would be at the time that they would never be able to go to heaven. Mm-hmm. And here we have somebody who is getting not only buried in a sacred burial place, but with a very high standing. And I think it just further rubs salt into the wound for women in mm-hmm. Ireland and who've been treated as badly as they have been, that even in death, he could be offered a more superior position.
Yeah. And should his remains, which are resting in that crypt as we speak, should they be removed?
Yes, I think so.
And you
this is a practice that happened up to the 50s.
Killeenie.
In Ireland.
It's Killeenie. Explain Killeenie to me. Killeenie.
Killeenie. So it's the word keel, eeny, C-I-L-I-N-I for that. Well, I for the knife, that can't I wouldn't be exactly sure of the spelling. I mean, there's a really good study done on them by William Casey, who's a historian in this area, but Cork Kerry was particularly noted for them. Mm. And
they were attached to cemeteries, were they?
No, they could have. They were often in places that were less likely to be disturbed. So they could be at road junctions where they'd be at an area of the road that wouldn't be driven over. The so-called fairy forts were used because they knew that they wouldn't be ploughed up. Mm-hmm. But for me, the saddest thing was that people, you know, if babies were born, stillborn, the dad usually took the baby and buried it, and often buried it on the outskirts of the graveyard.
Yeah, you're right. You're well, no, I didn't
doubt. The edges of the consecrated ground, but not in it.
Good God. And up to when were these?
Probably the 1950s.
Good God. Now, I knew about children, unbaptized children, horrific, were buried outside. I knew that people who died by suicide were treated differently as well, mm-hmm. and shamefully. But you say up to the 50s, mm-hmm. pregnant women.
Yeah, who died could not be buried in consecrated ground.
And were they buried in marked graves in these Killeenie?
No. There's no marked graves.
Okay.
Called to Reformation by the Catholic Church.
It was, my husband is the historian yeah. in this family, and he tells okay. me that because of the Council of Trent, actually I'll let him explain it to you.
Okay, what's his first name?
Hello, Joe.
How are you? What's your own first name?
Tony.
Tony, how are you, Tony? Killeenie.
Yeah. So they were for unbaptized yeah. children.
Yeah.
And sometimes sailors that they didn't know that their religion. So they would also be buried in Killeenies.
And how many of these Killeenie, insofar as we know, are in the country?
Well, I know in the parish I came from, in Barry Row, sorry, I'm out of breath, Joe, because I'm south walking.
Man, yeah.
there were seven Killeenies in that parish. Like, the mortality rate was high in Ireland, as all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there was Killeenies in almost every townland, really. Mm-hmm. And plus, I suppose, if you go back up.
Are any of them marked now?
Well, I was involved in a project here where we marked them in our churchyard. We got stones from each one of the Killeenies
okay.
are in the area around the Killeenies and brought them into the one place.
Oh, excellent.
And we erected a standing stone and put all them writing on it, you know, the old Gaelic writing.
Yeah.
And we wrote the word Suveness, peace yeah. or tranquility on it, you know, just to mark them. But I think originally the whole idea from the Catholic Church was that it was a kind of a counter-reformation thing at the Council of Trent. I think that was sometime in the 1600s.
Mm-hmm.
And the Catholic Church decided that if unbaptized children, if they weren't baptized in the Catholic faith, couldn't come into consecrated grounds. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were buried in old forts, fairy forts, where they knew they wouldn't be disturbed, or sometimes in junctions of crossroads. If we have triangular, you know, there'd be a triangular area of soil in the crossroads, and they'd be buried there. A lot of them would put up their own little marking stones. They'd never put up a headstone, but they'd have their own little marking stones.
So these people don't even have their name.
No.
They took their name.
Yeah, the babies would be newly born babies at the time, but there was no way they could be christened or baptized. And normally it was the father would bury them, and it was late at night. It was usually done under darkness when they were buried.
Mm-hmm.
It was a terrible unchristian practice, really.
Yeah. Hand us back to Maureen for a sec. Would you please?
No problem, Joe. Thank you.
Hi there, Joe.
What about that question I've been asking everyone? I know, Maureen, you want Bishop Eamon Casey's remains to be removed from the crypt.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a form of atonement you're talking about? That this is, would obviously it would upset people. It would upset the church, I presume. To go, well, as I say, I don't think you're not talking about diggers or JCBs. You're talking about six people to carry the coffin back out because it's resting in the crypt, apparently.
Mm-hmm. I think at this stage there's been an awful lot of talk and there has been some actions, but it's time for some kind of extraordinary statement, which is an action. For the church to really say we are serious about this.
Mm-hmm.
because I think it is a big, it is a very big ask. I'm not minimizing it. But, you know, I remember I was actually expecting our second child when that story broke.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't believe it. And it has a seismic effect on the church.
Yeah,
and
of course your line is wobbling on me there, Maureen, unfortunately, but your points are so well made, and that was
1992. My point is it needs another seismic action to actually, you know, for the church to come back in good stead.
Yeah. And I'd say to people, if have a look again at that late interview with Annie Murphy. Gay did it. I think it is a masterly interview. And I know, as I said, Gay got criticism, which he was very upset about at the end, because he told me afterwards, himself and Annie were sat in the green room, as they call it, for a long time talking, and she was very, very warm towards him. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's not the issue. But I think the image of that comes across of Bishop Eamon Casey from that explanation and story by Annie Murphy is just devastating. Absolutely devastating. Before you visit the allegations made last night. OK, Maureen, back after this break. Go to Míle Maith Go Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
This is from the website of Galway Cathedral. The crypt is open. Those who wish to visit a cemetery, including the cathedral crypt, and pray for the dead. This is All Souls Day and beginning of November. Those who visit the cemetery, including the cathedral crypt, where Bishop M. Casey is resting, and pray for the dead, may gain a plenary indulgence once per day between the 1st and the 8th of November. The same conditions apply. The crypt of the cathedral will be open between the 2nd and the 10th of November, so obviously it's accessible in every sense of the word. I don't know if it's wheelchair accessible, it should be. But anyway, the crypt is open, and if you visit the crypt, which is regarded as part of a cemetery, and if you pray for the dead, i.e. those therein, the remains of those therein, you will get a plenary indulgence once per day between the 1st and the 8th of November. Betty Mitchell. Betty is in Birmingham. Betty, this central question today, which has evolved, that the remains of Bishop Casey, which are resting in the crypt, should be removed forthwith. What do you think?
Well, I think I'm not so much bothered about that, Joe. I'm more bothered about the whole when they had the Requiem Mass for him. Yeah. Not denying him that, but all the palaver and the bishops and priests and everyone that came out. But did they know exactly what he had done? I don't agree with what Bishop Casey done from the very beginning. An old nun friend of mine said to me, and I never understood it years ago, she said, "Betty, I wouldn't have anything to do with that man at all," she says, "what comes out of his mouth." And she was a very charitable person. Mm. But really what's made me ring in, Joe, I mean, his remains are in there.
Yeah.
His spirit is with God, and there's only one judge, God, for all of us, and that's God. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus himself was accused of being evil. And Jesus himself said, all sin will be forgiven. But a sin, the only sin that is not forgivable, yeah, is a sin against the Holy Spirit. Now, Brenda asked me what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm no theologian, Joe, as you know, mm-hmm, very basic. But I do read scripture, I do pray, okay, and I know the church tells us to pray for the dead. We cannot be the judge of one another, because if we are, we're all going to hell in a handcart. God says that. St. Michael, the archangel, mm-hmm, said to the devil when there was supposed to be the rebellion in heaven, which there was, as we know, and he just said, "May the Lord condemn you." No, I don't agree. I think the lady, his niece, who spoke up last night,
okay,
I watched the whole of the program. I think she was amazing to have come out with all of this. Mm. But, as I say, who in all of our families and ancestors. We don't know the sins they all committed. And that's why we're asked when we have a requiem mass, a funeral, to pray. We're obliged to pray for the dead, Joe. Even the ones we think most horrible. I mean, the other fellow in America, I can't stand him. And I just
Carrick. Oh, sorry.
No, I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Trump.
Okay.
But, you know, all our attitudes towards each other. And I had to say, God forgive me, on the Friday night, a week ago last Saturday, I went, I'm a steward at the church and I go to Mass on the Saturday morning. And one of the ladies said to me, my goodness, Betty, you look as though you're dressed to shoot somebody. I said, yeah. I said, I would, only he's too far away in America.
No, but you're only joking. But you're saying
seriously, Joe, please take it seriously. The next morning I woke up to hear he'd been shot. And I thought, oh, Mother of God Almighty, I really did feel, I did say, I'm sorry, Lord, I know I joke about it, and a lot of people do it. But do you know who I prayed for most of all in that? The young lad who did it. The state of that poor lad's mind.
Miss Matthew Scott,
prompted. You know, Judge, every one of us, we all judge each other.
The other man, Corey Coraloni, the firefighter who got the bullet in the head that missed Trump.
I know.
Donald Trump.
It's a pity it didn't miss
everybody. And then Donald Trump said, God saved him. It was God's will.
Well, maybe God did it for his own purpose. We'll never know. I certainly wouldn't say it was a miracle. I would say he did duck anyway, but that's by the by. I think that.
But if Donald Trump, I know we're going off message here.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Donald, as I said on the day, on the Monday, to the mayor of the local town, like if at that stage Donald Trump had already said God saved him, but God didn't think of saving the firefighter that was sitting behind him.
Exactly.
But anyway,
okay. Can I just say one other thing?
Yes.
I was talking about the president. And I always remember them criticising Albert Reynolds, you know, because he was in charge of the dance leaders and all that. And God chose him to bring about peace in Northern Ireland. And he was just an ordinary Joe Soap. And I honestly believe out of all this will come good. But as far as Bishop Casey is concerned, whether he's in or out of the crypt does not matter to me. But I do think to most people, they wouldn't want him in there. They should find a quiet spot, bury him, leave him at rest, and like all of us, leave all our relatives and friends in the hands of God and let him be the judge.
Okay. Back after this break. Thanks indeed, Betty. God bless. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Mary, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. Good afternoon.
And you're listening to this discussion. Go ahead, Mary.
Yeah. Basically, myself and my husband had a stillbirth back in 2003.
Yeah.
So she was full term.
Yeah.
She died in my womb. So my husband went along to our local parish and tried to arrange a priest for the funeral, and the priest asked, well, did your baby die inside or outside the womb? To which he replied, inside. The priest said, we can't bury her. Yeah. So my husband,
We can't bury her.
We can't give her a funeral.
Did he say why?
No. My husband was distraught enough.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. And you, I presume. Yes.
So, actually, Joe, my husband told me this last Christmas.
Okay, that's what he told you.
Because he just kept it in and kind of told me that there wasn't a space for her or whatever.
Okay, he wanted to protect you from the awfulness of what that priest had done and said. And he actually, you now know that the parish priest asked your husband, did the baby, did you have a name? Had you have a name?
Orla.
Did Orla, who had come full term, did she die inside or outside the womb?
Yeah.
And when your husband said inside, he basically said, get out of here.
He said, she can't be buried. Had she been alive for 2 seconds, sure, there, give her a funeral. She's worthy of it. But she wasn't worthy of it because she died inside my womb, full term, on her due date.
And I say, you only found out relatively recently. And this discussion about former Bishop Eamon Casey, though he died a bishop and he was buried a bishop.
Yeah. And he had a funeral.
Yeah, some funeral.
My daughter didn't. So I would go, I would take him out of there and stick him somewhere in a layperson's grave. And obviously he would have a priest giving him a good, nice send-off. But myself, my husband, my mum and, you know, close family were at the graveside with no priest, no blessing, nothing, no funeral. We brought her there on our own, on our lap.
Oh my
she
God.
Was on our lap, drove in. And dropped her in the grave. No prayers or blessings from a priest. So we grew up being Catholics.
Yeah.
My husband was an altar boy. I was in the convent, you know, clean for the nuns, everything, and that's what we got back.
And do you know, Mary, was it ever addressed subsequently by the priest?
We got on to... I got very angry last Christmas. So a couple of months ago, we got on to, I don't know whether you can say Archbishop Dermot Farrell.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's the Catholic Archbishop of Dublin, yes.
So we had a meeting with himself.
Okay.
He suggested, he asked, would we like a blessing now? And we said, no way, it's too late.
Okay.
Like 20 years after the fact, it's too late.
But he was receptive to meeting you and he did hear you.
He did listen, yeah.
Yeah, and has the position changed? And he's a very compassionate man. Has the position changed?
Well, he kind of said, well, what can we do? And we asked, we suggest that we would like an apology.
Yeah, okay.
So he sent us back to the local priest, and we had to chase all that up. We got an apology, but it wasn't from the heart. It was a very, very cold apology.
It was a written apology or...?
Yeah, it was well typed. Yeah,
yeah.
And got our baby's name wrong and our second name wrong.
The subsequent letter from this priest.
And
Orla is. I know. Don't have to ask you this. I'm absolutely presuming that Orla's grave is marked, and is still visited. I presume by your.
We because of what happened to her.
Yeah.
We never really put her name on the gravestone.
Okay.
Now, they were willing to pay for that.
The church were?
Yeah, and we said no thanks. No.
Okay. Well, the hurt is deep. The hurt is, apart from losing your beautiful daughter, but the hurt is deep afterwards as well.
Yeah, my only daughter, because of all boys.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, well, God rest her, Orla. God rest her, Orla. May she rest in peace.
Amen.
Mary, thanks indeed, and
okay.
And look after yourself, and kind regards to you,
okay,
to you and your family and your boys, as you call them. That's Mary. Alan Murphy is in Dublin. Alan, the central point, central question is today: should his remains be resting in that crypt in Galway? Your contribution, please, Alan.
Yeah, I don't believe he should be in the crypt.
Mm.
It's consecrated ground. What that man did is just unspeakable. I go back to 1979, Joe, when my uncle was a priest in America and he was back in Ireland studying theology in Maynooth College.
Okay.
And he came out to my family home for an afternoon, and I hadn't been long driving, and he asked me to drive him back to Maynooth, which I was delighted to do. So on the way back, he said to me, look, we're going to get dinner somewhere. Do you know anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I don't. No. And he said, there's a hotel in Leixlip. So we pulled into the hotel in Leixlip and into the dining room, and the bold Bishop Casey was sitting there having his meal, and he said to my uncle, "Hello, Father." Now, my uncle wasn't wearing any clerical garb, and he said hello. He didn't greet him as Bishop or Father or anything. So we carried on, and we were shown to a table, and menus were brought to us, and the waitress said, "The Bishop would like to have a word with you, Father." And he said, "I'm with my nephew."
Yeah.
And we ordered our meal, and during the meal, the waitress came, I think it was another waitress came over, actually said, "Sorry, Father, the Bishop would like to have a word with you. I'm with my nephew." So okay. We finished our meal, and leaving, I was behind my uncle, and the Bishop said, "Why did you snub me?" And okay. My uncle said, I want nothing to do with you." And we walked out, and
do you recall what Eamon Casey's reaction was?
Shock. Like, his chin dropped. Like, he had a big face and a big jowly face and big lips from what I can remember. And we got out to the car, and I sort of looked at my uncle and I said, "Christ almighty," and got into the car, and he said, "Don't start the car for a minute." And he effed and blinded out of him. And I said to him, "What?" I said, "Jesus, that's the Bishop."
Yeah.
And he says, "I don't want to discuss it. I won't discuss it. Take me back to Maynooth." And that was it.
Wow.
I said it to my parents a few days later, and my mother would have been religious to the point of being a hypocrite on religion. But I said it to her, and she said, "Don't ever challenge him again. He's a priest. You've no right to challenge him." And he obviously had a very good reason.
Okay, your uncle had good reason, yeah. And this, what year was this again, Alan?
1979.
The year the Pope came to Ireland.
Yeah.
And Bishop Eamon Casey was the lead. He was in every photograph.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah.
But I like, that just goes to show you how far back this goes.
Yeah.
That the church knew, like, his own people in the church, priests and others, knew. But there was something going on. I had no clue at the time. Mm. And then it was when, the woman he had the child with, Annie McCarrick, was it?
No, Annie Murphy, yeah.
Annie Murphy, sorry, my apologies.
Same name as yourself.
True.
Common.
And I shouldn't have forgot that one, should
no,
I?
No.
But anyway, my view is that the church knew a lot of these things were going on, and it wasn't just with Casey, it was other priests that were shifted around, moved around, and nothing was done, you know, and it, like, I didn't watch the programme last night because I couldn't bring myself to watch it.
Okay.
And it
apparently nearly half a million people watched it, which was...
So I believe, yeah, I heard it on...
For a programme that was only basically advertised on Sunday, people didn't know. Even I looked up the RT Guide and it mentioned there was a programme about Bishop Casey, but it didn't give, I presume, a glimpse of what was about to unfold.
Again, like, any scandal that's been aired by RTE or through the media has great focus from people who, and I know you had a lady earlier on saying that she prays for Donald Trump and that poor chap that was shot. But at the end of the day, I don't believe Casey should be, or any abuser in a religious order should be buried in consecrated ground.
Okay.
Look what they did to people. Look what they did to people years ago. If you were were a child out of unmarried mother, you weren't allowed to be buried in a consecrated grave, you know.
Okay, Alan, good to meet you, Mark. That's Adam Murphy. Just want to go to another Murphy, John Murphy. John, you're a survivor again of another abuser, spirit and priest, Father Henry Maloney. What do you think of the question that's been raised here today? Where should Eamon Casey be buried?
I totally with your last caller there. Just one of his last sentences was exactly the point that I was going to make. They shouldn't be burying these guys in consecrated ground. I actually looked, by total coincidence yesterday, I actually was looking to see where Henry Maloney was buried, but I can't find it.
Okay.
you know, and if he's buried in consecrated ground, that's so wrong.
Well, why is that ringing? Again, that's ringing a bell with me that he's buried up in the, I could be wrong, he's buried up in the Holy Ghost plot in Glasnevin Cemetery. That's my vague memory of that name, Henry Maloney.
That was my vague memory of it as well.
Joe, well, maybe we can find out, because it's an issue that's been raised today. Okay, John, I'm sorry I'm so short with you. I know you're a survivor, so that's really, really important, and you deserve all the time I can give you. But that is it today. We'll continue tomorrow.
You've done a great deal, Joe. Thank you.
It's the likes of yourself and John and Alan and Betty, and going back to Edward Harran at the start, that have done such incredible work on this. The sound, Chris O'Connor, research, Adam Hogan, producer Richard Stern. Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Summer's here. Spruce up your bedroom for less with our sizzling summer sale offers at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.